The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. When we reflect upon the present state of the Church throughout the world, so different from that which was promised to her in prophecy, the doubt is apt to suggest itself to us whether it is right to keep holy days when the spouse of Christ is in bondage and the iron almost enters into her soul. These words of nearly two centuries ago, words of the saintly convert and cardinal, that bright star of Victorian England, John Henry Newman, could just as easily, and perhaps more easily, be applied to our own dark day. How can we celebrate feasts of light and life in the midst of so many causes for grief and sadness? How can we sing the songs of Zion in our captivity in an age where truth itself appears to be in bondage, when many whose duty is to speak, to protect, and to defend have preferred pleasure to penance, comfort to courage, darkness to light? Yet, as we will hear tomorrow from the indomitable Apostle St. Paul, it is not only our privilege, but our duty to rejoice in the Lord always. We here gathered before the dawn to worship the eternal light, we could bear the secret of that joy, the joy that will rouse a slumbering world languishing in the dark sleep of sin, if we would but draw near to its fire, near to the Sacred Heart that beats in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the cause of our joy, yes, but who more than she feels the dark cold of the approach of sin, of the decline of divine charity in the hearts of men? She never knew the stain of sin, but her perfect intellect, will, and indeed entire being, made her all the more acutely sensitive to any betrayal, any rebellion against the God she perfectly loved and adored. She, the seat of wisdom, knew the dignity of the chosen people, and what pain did she feel seeing it reduced to servitude? She, more than anyone, knew the dignity and destiny of the entire human race, and how did she burn for the end of the reign of sin? Yet at the end of the long night, stretching from our father Adam to her mother Anna, the Blessed Virgin Mary kept vigil in prayer, her faith a burning, joyful lamp, waiting for the bridegroom of our souls. We must not doubt that she is here with us this morning as she reigns in heaven, as she gazes upon the common sorrow of her faithful sons and daughters. Our Queen looks lovingly on the bride of her Son, the Church, and she offers to us anew the grace of that first Advent, graces of faith and love, of true and lasting joy. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Our blessed Lord desires more than anything the surrender of our hearts to his healing love, the surrender of our will to his loving providence, the surrender of our wounds to his healing hand. So often throughout salvation history and our own personal histories of salvation, God has preferred to speak inaudibly, but no less loudly, through the events and people in our lives. We are tempted to think that his light is obscured in crisis, but it often there shines brightest. His loving designs may progress over centuries or decades, but our God seems to delight in acting decisively at moments of complete desolation, as definitive defeat draws near, at a moment when his action could never be confused with human effort. Sometimes by his power or permission, he reduces in a moment our own human hope, so that stripped of all our illusory supports, we turn to the only true source of our strength, his love. Faced with our trials, struck by our sins, we may throw up our hands in a moment of frustration and entertain despair, for after all, we say, humanly speaking, there is no way forward. And we are right. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. Who will deliver us from the culture of death reigning in our governments and our schools? Who will deliver us from the darkness of growing error unchecked in the heart of the church? Who will deliver us from our habitual faults that crush us anew, having only recently risen again? Forgetful though we are, we must remember the deeds of our God in moments of darkness, the moment of deliverance, in the lives of our forefathers and in our own lives. There are so many promises shining in the night, in that night sky of our trials. Think of the desolation of the patriarch Joseph, of suffering Tobias and Job. Think of the courage of Rahab and Judith, of the fearless and faithful Susanna. Think of the hordes that met Gideon's few and who fell like Goliath before David. Think too of the empire whose kings would kill Christians by the thousands, only to later glory in the cross they despised. Think of an Arius who gripped the world in error, but then was refuted and at last overcome. Think of the swords at Poitiers and Lepanto, of Vienna threatened and relieved. Now think of today, think of our trials, think of our nations, our church, our homes, and our hearts enshrouded by sin. Here we are gathered around our Blessed Mother. We see the darkness engulf and invade. Look to the light, born before the dawn, about to be born in her. Remember the unshakable foundation of our joy. Let today be a moment of faith, that when many were found fallen or faithless, we instead remembered the promises of our fathers. Let today be a moment aflame with divine love, that when charity grew cold, we at least drew nearer to our Blessed Mother and the divine heart burning within her. Let our faith be simple and joyful. To the world, the faithful trust of a Joseph or Job, a Gideon or David, an Athanasius or Pius, was not faith but folly. That same world refused to believe that a humble carpenter's son from a poor family and a despised city could truly be God the Son. But his ways are not our ways, and the darkness could not overcome the light. His joy and deliverance belong to the humble. In our hearts this morning, united to the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have the power to end the crisis in the Church. We have the power to end the reign of sin in our lives, because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Would that we knew our joy. For the only one who can deliver us rushes to our aid. With every passing Advent, he yearns to make his home anew and more firmly in our hearts. Through Isaiah, he cries out, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." And through St. John, our blessed Savior promises, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Let us, by prayer, penance, and a loving, ardent faith, rush to open the door of our heart to our Eucharistic Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.